know how I know I was a little bit behind today, Jake?
How's that?
My hat's still on the right way. All right, ladies and gentlemen, hour two of the Adam Carriker Show is sponsored by Sweezo Construction, where safety isn't just a policy, it is a promise. Sweezo is hiring skilled craftsmen, laborers, concrete workers, and steel erectors who value quality work and a team that has your back, both on and off the job site. Apply today at Sweezo.com. 40 years strong in business. Sweezo Construction. Again, that's Sweezo.com. S-C-H-W-I-S-O-W.com. Also, shout out to Hamilton Telecommunications. They are bringing you the latest in quality technology and communication services since 1901. Learn more about their residential and business services at HamiltonTel.com. So, three new starters on the defensive line to start the second half at Northwestern. You saw guys like Gabe Moore, Jalen George, Pat Schock. There's a few others I can name. Those are just the top three off the top of my head. I don't even remember if those are the three that started the second half. But, you know, guys like Wanniri, Len Hart, Judy, they did not start. Essentially, rule said performance of play wasn't consistent enough what they were looking for. I'm paraphrasing what he said. Did you notice this? And what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I didn't notice this. So this is kind of news to me. I'm interested in this topic. You know, obviously you would hope that you can kind of develop that depth. There's certain guys among that group that have been really good all year and been disruptive. But that's kind of the up and down nature of the sport. Sometimes, you know, a matchup across from you might get the better of you. So, you make the adjustment. And I don't know what to say. I guess I'll put it this way. I don't know if it was a whole lot better in the second half. They gave up more points in the second half.
So I wouldn't overreact to this. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's a good thing. It's not a good thing. It's a good thing we won the game. You lose the game and you do that, then fans are like, oh, why weren't they out there? Okay. Either way, win or lose, that game, we obviously won. But to me, it's not a good thing anytime you're not out there. It means they think they can do better with somebody else out there. Now, there can sometimes be more to it than that. Sometimes it's a message that's sent. When it's an entire group like that, if it was one person, to me, that would speak more to one individual's play. Now, if the whole group isn't playing up to snuff, I get it. And we were. Northwestern was winning the battle at the line of scrimmage. There's been times this year when the other team has won the battle at the line of scrimmage. Both sides of the ball. By the way, how do you have the Big Ten's leading rusher and the 101st ranked rushing offense in the country? Did you know that?
Yeah.
Both those things are true. How? What?
A lot of sacks.
Yeah, that too. To me, it feels like a message when you do it to three guys like that, or multiple individuals, I should say. To me, it feels like a message. Now, it's not a big deal because we won. If we lost, that would be analyzed to the nth degree. Not just because we lost, but hey, why are they struggling so much and et cetera, et cetera. Why wasn't this addressed before? Why is it, that's what you would hear. I do like the idea of changing it up. I do like the idea of, hey, we're not just going to do the same thing over and over if we're not getting the result we like. Literally the definition of insanity, if you didn't know, is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. So if you're not getting the result you want, you got to change something. The other thing is it feels like a message. Like, I think these guys are going to get another shot. You know, a lot of these guys are black shirts, single-digit numbers. So these guys have done things to earn things, but just because you've earned something once doesn't mean you earn it in perpetuity. You got to continue to earn it, especially when it comes to a starting job, to playing time, to reps on the field versus somebody else who's constantly should be trying to take your spot. He's your brother, but you're also fighting for the same thing, which is a starting spot, playing time, contributing on the football field. So to me, it feels like a message I'm perfectly fine with. We need improved play in the trenches as an overall whole. Also, if they take it to heart, if they don't react, to use Matt Rule's words, with entitlement and hypersensitivity, he didn't say hypersensitivity, but with entitlement, I'm going to say sensitivity. I'm not saying they are. What I'm saying is if they don't react like that and they respond with, this is an opportunity to look in the mirror with some self-analyzation, say, I got to do better. What can I do to get better? They may be better players for it. And we may be better going forward as a line, as a defense, and as a result, as a team for it. It's all in how they respond. To me, it's not a great thing. There's no way it can be a good thing when somebody else is out there when you're supposed to be out there. But that doesn't have to be the end of the story. It can just be the next chapter. There was a first 7.5 games of the year story. There was a 2.5 chapter of the book, Northwestern. Now we got 4 more chapters to write. And the next 4 chapters are going to have a huge impact on the story in the book as a whole. So what do those look like? And what do you learn from the chapter that just happened? Are you better for it? Because we can be better for it. And I'll be honest with you, if the other guys who play in the second half of Northwestern are now playing better, maybe they improved, maybe they've grown, maybe they're whatever. If they're playing better, it's what's best for the team. This isn't rec sports. We're trying to win football games. It is an opportunity to learn, to self-evaluate, grow. What can I do better, get better, and be better going forward? And let the best player win as far as whoever's going to play more. So I wouldn't call it a good thing. We won the game, so it doesn't need to be overblown. Also, it doesn't have to be a bad thing in perpetuity. It can be a good thing going forward. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. You got any other thoughts?
No, I mean, it's good. You're able to send a message again. I kind of think that the dev portion of that, I don't know if they always would have been comfortable enough to kind of send that message and send them the backup. So, you know, to be in a position to do that, that's growth in of itself.
That's a fair point, depth. Like, as a defensive line, you should be the position group on the team that rotates the most. Offensive linemen, they don't typically rotate unless you're battling out a starting spot or somebody gets hurt. They just don't move that much, with all due respect, okay? You look at the quarterback, doesn't tend to rotate a ton. Wide receivers a little bit. Depending on the running back situation, you may rotate more or less. Secondary, not so much. Linebackers, not so much. It's typically the D-line and then probably running back, depending on the running back situation. Ours, not so much. But if you got to get a 1-2 punch at running back or multiple guys who are neck and neck, they can be right there number two. Sometimes it's the wide receivers that substitute a bunch if they're running longer routes, especially if they're really like doing some of the longer routes or running at full speed every time, whether they're getting the ball or not. That can be tiring. But defensive line usually should rotate the most because it's the biggest bodies that are running the farthest. Now, I'm not sitting here and tell you we run like DBs and wide receivers, but they're not anywhere near as big as we are, and they're not taking on double teams. So there should be a comfortability and a confidence in the ability to rotate, have depth, and keep guys fresh. So much of the running back position is running with effort, which is why having one really good running back in the NFL has been devalued so much, because if you can have two guys giving 100% effort, a lot of GMs equivalate that to one really good running back, okay? And especially when that running back has to come out, and then you're typically your backup, if your starter's really good, isn't that good? So a lot of GMs in the NFL like a good 1-2 punch because they can constantly rotate, constantly go 100%, and then as a running back tandem, some GMs feel that that's better than having one really good running back. Because even one running back is going to get banged up, dinged up, tired. Now, I know that's our situation here. Hey, Emmett's handling it great. I have not said this. I'm just going to say it. I'm going to move on. He wasn't even starting a good portion of last year, and there were games where he got 1-0 reps. All right, I said it, and I'm going to move on. He's doing awesome now, and I'm proud of him. I'm happy for him. And I'm glad he's making the contribution that he is. He's probably the best player on our team right now, in my humble opinion. Like, if you were to pick one guy who's the best player, I don't know how you... There's other guys you can point to. I'm going to pick Emmett Johnson. So I'm happy for him. I'm proud of him. When you look at the defensive line, it's another position where so much of it is effort. Very rarely do you just blow right by a 330-pound lineman. Like, there is technique. There's flying off the ball. There's that first step. You're battling double teams. Like, a lot of times the difference between a sack and not getting a sack is a half a second.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
A lot of times it's a guy pulling up a little bit versus not pulling up. It's a guy running to the ball versus not running to the ball. It's a guy who just took on 5 straight double teams, and now you've got to run 30 yards downfield, and all of a sudden you're there, and you get that fumble that popped out versus you weren't, versus now you got a quarterback who's running all over the place and you don't feel like running 30 yards back and forth because you just took on five double teams, but you're willing to, or you're fresh enough because you can rotate. And that's the difference between a sack and a ball that's completed 40 yards downfield because he's been running back and forth and the secondary can't cover forever. A fresh defensive line is huge. All right. You want to hear about my conversation with an individual who reached out to me?
Absolutely.
What if you said no?
Yeah, that, I'm not interested.
Yeah. All right, go to break. So, got a message from someone. Didn't know who he was. Sends me this message. My wife is like, why did you respond? You don't know who this is. Well, it seemed legit. And did a little bit of recon. Was legit. So, I called him. He's been a ref, an official in the state of Nebraska for 22 years. High school, middle school, youth sports, all the above. His specialty is more high school football games. And he's like, Adam, I want to give you the perspective of the officials. So, of course, you know, the reffing across college football came up. Of course, the whole, which we haven't talked about much here, but the gambling, the mafia, the NBA, all that stuff. So one of my first questions to him was, how much do you think gambling affects officiating? He said, there's an impact. There's an impact. He said, I'll be honest with you. He goes, I've seen it in youth sports games. He says, I've seen it in high school. How big the impact is, nobody truly knows. What he's saying is it's not 0%. It does exist. Somewhere between 1 and 99%. In his experience, it exists. And it's undeniable. So then you start to, hey, what about the validity of games? What about the legitimacy of games? And then I went to the quality. Now, does he think it's like all the time? He didn't think so. Not in his experience. But we went to the quality of reffing. He said, Adam, you got to go all the way back to the beginning. You got to think about people who do or don't want to get into something and why they do or don't want to. He said, you don't just leapfrog into college football or the NFL or even high school. He said, you've got to start in youth sports. You've got to work your way. Now, some guys go up quickly. You know, there's guys who coach in high school for a couple, 3 years, and all of a sudden they're in the NFL. That's not everybody's track. A lot of people tend to go to high school coordinator, high school head coach, and a position coach in college. Some are a GA. Then you go to coordinator. And if you're lucky, you get a head. Like, this is like a 10 to 20 year track here. Not everybody zooms up. He goes, as an official, you got to start somewhere, though. He goes, a lot of these youth sports games, and he singled out baseball. That's what he singled out. Like, it's not just baseball. I would say youth football is crazy, too. A lot of sports are crazy, but those are the ones who stick out to me. Like, the officials just get berated. He goes, Adam, I've been followed to my car. I've been followed home. I've had death threats to my family. He goes, people get in, then they get out. He goes, people see it, and they don't want to get in to begin with. So your pool of options is limited to begin with. He said, and then you go up into high school. I said, what do you have to do to be qualified to be a high school official? He goes, you have to pass a test one time. I was like, that's it? He's like, they can't be picky. There's not a lot of options. I go, that's it. He goes, yeah, you pass a test one time. I was like, is there a course you take? No. Do they train you? No. They used to. They don't anymore. I'm like, so it's a one-time test. Yes. I go, there's no sense of accountability after that. He goes, we're evaluated every other year once. Every other year. I was like, It comes back to you can only be so picky. He's like, there are young kids who are put into situations they should not be in. He was aware of a situation one time, a teenager had never reffed a game, all of a sudden got put in charge of reffing a high school game. And the kid's like, I've never reffed a game before. The guy literally told him, don't blow your whistle. Just don't blow your whistle. Now, is this every game? Is this every ref? Is this all the time? No. But they aren't being trained as well. They can only hold them so accountable because if you get rid of them, there's only so many people there left to begin with, so many people in the pool to begin with. And like, what about college? He goes, those are the guys that bleed on up. And he goes, in college, the interesting thing is it's not what you know, it's who you know. Which honestly, that's a lot of life now. And I said, so it doesn't sound good. He goes, no, it's not. He goes, it's going to get worse before it gets better. I go, so what in the world makes you think it's going to get better? Because they're not full-time. They're being trained different things. And now I'm talking specifically college football, things that I know for a fact, personally know for a fact, that he didn't tell me. He goes, first of all, you're right. It's not their full-time job. They are trained to do different things. Different conferences teach them different things. And it's very confusing. There's not uniformity across the board. Now, there is more accountability in college football than there is what he described to me before. But I go, what makes you think it's going to get better then? He goes, it's going to get better after it gets worse, because it's going to get worse, and then it's going to hit a point where it's so bad they have to address it. He goes, but until we hit that point, it's going to get worse. Now, does that mean all officials are bad? Absolutely not. I think it's the position they're being put in. Are there bad officials? Yeah, yeah. There's any profession out there, there's going to be people who do a good job, don't do a good job, average, above average, subpar, really good. That's normal. It's the position that they're put in. They're not properly trained. They're not equivalently, at least in high school and probably college as well, held accountable, not frequently. Pass a one-time test for high school. Then you go up to college. You've got people who were too young, probably aren't ready, probably scared, intimidated. And then not everyone wants to keep doing it the way things go. But then fans get frustrated because you can see it. And in the Northwestern-Nebraska game, yeah, I pointed out a couple calls that went against Nebraska. To be fair, and maybe I didn't clarify this enough, I wasn't just talking about Nebraska. I was in the middle of a game. I wanted us to win, so that was my focus. You look back on it, Northwestern had a touchdown in the second half that was called back. Seemed like the right call, but it cost them a touchdown. How about the deep ball at the end of the game? That was on us. They didn't call it. It was almost kind of like early in the play, the penalty happened, and he kind of let it go, and then it affected the rest of the play, and then it was almost too late. Like, oh, it's going to look bad if I throw it now. And I'll be honest, I listened to Rob Zadiska talk about this too on his Doc Talk podcast. They did a great job talking about this. We had some differing thoughts, but we had a lot of similar thoughts. When I said the refs suck on X, I really meant an entirety of the game. I'm just so focused on Nebraska during the game that I think I don't always explain that. Now, was the reffing the worst we've seen? No. I think what happens is it's like somebody punches you in the shoulder. And then it's not so bad the first time, but it's not great. Then they keep punching. After a while, it hurts. And then it gets to the point where you don't have to punch somebody hard. They just lightly tap you, and you're going to react at an extreme level because you've been so bruised up and worn down and pissed off by what's happening over time. I think that's kind of how fans are. Officiating isn't great, and it's not been great for a long time. And then you become so overreactive, and you still want to treat people with respect, but you become very reactive because you've just run out of patience with it. I don't even blame the officials. I blame the people in charge. I said it on another place, and I'll say it again. It's a billion-dollar industry. It's people making millions of dollars. They drive cars nicer than houses, have suits that are more fancy than cars that are fancier than houses, and they're nickel and diming the college football fans who deserve better. The very people that help make them money, who make their product go, they're not doing right by them, and they're not doing them justice. And Husker football fans, college football fans, and fans of sports in general deserve better. That makes sense?
It does.
I know you want me to go to break and stay on time. Do you have anything, though? Because I'm not revisiting this when we come back.
That's okay.
Is there anything off the text line?
There's people talking about just what refs make and that sort of stuff. Of course, there's a long, I don't know if you've seen it there forever. I mean, I don't even know how many years it was where Nebraska didn't get a hold called, called for them.
So, roughly a billion.
Yeah, that's always going to be frustrating and brought up anytime this conversation comes up.
Again, I don't put the overarching fault on the refs. I put it on the situation. The situation is created by the people in charge. I put it at their feet. Don't make it get worse before it gets better, please. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.